Today we are continuing with our series of the Psalms with Psalm 21, and it is reproduced for you on the insert of your bulletin. Some people call it a messianic psalm, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But primarily, I read this as a psalm in which David gives glory and honor and esteem to God. Some other people see this psalm as a prophecy of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Both of those would be fun themes to explore today, but I'm drawn to verse 2. Listen again to what David said. You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips. Let me read that again with a few modifications. Lord, you have granted me the desire of my heart and have not withheld the request of my lips. Think about that. What a wonderful prayer that is. Would you like to be the one saying that to God? Of course you would. That's why so many Christians love to quote Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What is just one of the desires of your heart? What is just one of the desires of your heart today? What's coming into your mind? Think about it. Whatever it is revealing one of your prime concerns in your life. When you pray for your heart's desire, you are focusing on one of your prime concerns. Now, God already knows what that is, and God has already placed it under his divine microscope. The question I have for you is, have you done that? Have you placed it under your microscope? Have you laid it on an altar before God? Is it really worthy of being one of your prime concerns? Now, most of us here have followed God for a long, long time. And I know that you have lifted to him many times a real desire of your heart. And I know that when that desire was granted and God answered the prayer with a positive, you were just like David in Psalm 21. You rejoiced in victory. You praised God. You felt like a crown had been placed on your head. And you wanted to sing, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength, and I will sing and praise your name." But what about those times when your heart's desire was left unfulfilled? Perhaps you prayed that some sinful desire in your life or some sinful habit would be lifted from you, but it wasn't, at least not yet. Or perhaps you prayed for a close friend or a family member to give their life to Jesus Christ, but they haven't, at least not yet. Or perhaps you prayed about your own loneliness. Do any of you here feel lonely? You know, during this pandemic, a lot of people have felt alone, especially people who live alone and haven't been able to go out and socialize. Or perhaps you prayed about a financial challenge in your life that could be scary. Or maybe your desire is to be relieved from some lingering illness in yourself or in a loved one. But that desire of your heart is still there, unfulfilled. How do you deal with that? Is it confusing to you? Does it challenge your faith in Him? I hope not. I hope you know where to place your focus. And in order to do that, let's look at the New Testament, the book of James, first chapter, beginning in verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. I don't know about you, but I find that scripture rather challenging. And here's another one. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I don't know about you, but that scripture has done two things for me. It has increased my faith in God, and it has increased my embarrassment in my own doubts, my lack of faith. I have to admit, in my mind, which is finite, I cannot see a mountain moving and disappearing and going somewhere, actually moving before my eyes. I have doubts. I told you a story in a former sermon that really fit so well here, I decided to tell it again. Besides, I doubt you will remember. There was a little church. Now, in our view, it was a big church, 300 members in North Carolina. And this one was in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. Have you ever been to the foothills of the Smoky Mountains? One of their members gave them a parcel of land to build a sanctuary. Have you ever been in a church that longed to have their own sanctuary? And they began building it. And this lot that they had backed up to one of those foothills. Now, those of you who have been there know this. When you see those foothills, they look like mountains. Because when you compare them with where we live and what we see, they're big. And they're beautiful. But if you keep on driving into the Smokies, you realize, wow, that's a real mountain. Well, they started building their church, and the work was coming to an end in just 10 days. And they were going to have their first worship service and dedicate their sanctuary until an inspector came and told the pastor, I'm sorry, but the parking lot is not up to code. It's not big enough for your sanctuary. That was a big problem. But a bigger problem was that they had used all the money that they had and every inch of the donated land that they had, except for that mountain right behind their church. The next Sunday morning, the pastor had to tell his congregation the bad news. And then he added this. He said, I need those of you who have mountain-moving faith to join with me tonight in prayer. We need God to remove that mountain back there. And we need for him to provide enough money for us to have the land paved and painted before next Sunday. Well, that night, 24 church members gathered to pray. 276 church members stayed home. less than 10% of the congregation gathered to pray. Well, did they pray for 3 hours? Have you ever been to a prayer service that was 3 hours long? 3 hours praying. At 10 p.m. that night, the pastor said, "Amen." And he dismissed them out the door. And you know what he said? He said, "I'll see you here next Sunday morning in our new sanctuary." Well, the very next morning, Monday, a knock came to his door. And he said, "Come in." And this bulky construction worker walked into his office. And he took off his hat and he said, "Excuse me, preacher, but I'm from a construction crew in the next county. And we're building a shopping mall over there, and we've encountered an emergency situation. We need lots of fill dirt. Would you sell us a chunk of that mountain behind you? And if you will, we will pay you for the dirt. And we'll pave the whole exposed area free of charge." They dedicated their sanctuary the next Sunday morning. And you can be sure that they rejoiced that day the way David rejoiced in this psalm. "Oh Lord, we rejoice in your strength. How great is our joy in the victories you give. You have granted us the desire of our heart and have not withheld the request of our lips." Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence." I hope you remember that last Sunday, that was our theme, praying with confidence. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart." 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you." But let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed a prayer something like this? "Lord, please deliver me from this problem. But if it be your will for me to keep on suffering with this, then please help me to bear it patiently." I confess that I've prayed like that. And that kind of prayer reveals doubt on my part. According to James, that kind of prayer makes me a double-minded man. The Bible gives us some really good examples of the opposite. People who were single-minded. People who were not double-minded. People who were whole-hearted, not half-hearted. And God honored their whole-hearted desires. For instance, Elijah prayed for fire to come out of heaven and consume the sacrifice on the altar. And he did it wholeheartedly. He did it single-mindedly. He didn't have doubts, and fire came. Or Peter. Peter stepped out of the boat and he did so wholeheartedly and single-mindedly, and he walked on that water until he looked down. That's when he began to sink. And I want to be like Elijah. And I want to be like Peter without the looking down part, but with faith. I want to be that. And you do too, don't you? You do. Well, here are some fundamentals for the kind of prayer that can achieve that, and I think this is something we should all strive to achieve. Number one, recognize the desire of your heart. Recognize the desire of your heart, just as you did a few minutes ago when we started. And then ask yourself, is my desire something that God can allow? And by that I mean, does it comply with God's moral laws and not hurt anyone else? You see, God can't honor our prayers otherwise. Next, if you've passed that test, then honestly share with God the desire of your heart, even though he already knows it. But when you do, ask yourself, do I desire this wholeheartedly? Regardless of what my head or my emotions might be trying to tell me, ask God wholeheartedly and single-mindedly, and then, and oh, this is the hardest part for most of us, believe. Believe that God will give you the desire of your heart. Believe in the way Abraham believed, and watch lives change. Believe in the way Moses believed, and see waters part. Believe in the way Joshua believed, and see walls come down. And then this, and oh, this is the easiest part. Wait. Oh, no, that's not the easiest part after all. That's one of the hardest parts, waiting. But if you wait expectantly, it's exciting. Let's get back to David in the 21st Psalm. He addressed it to the Lord. It was a prayer, and like good prayers, it began with praise to God, and it ended with praise to God. When we read verse 2, we're told that God had granted the desire of David's heart. What we are not told, however, is what motivated David to say that. I can't help but wonder, was David surprised that the desire of his heart was granted? Was he thinking, God, I doubted, I wasn't sure that you would grant me this desire, but you did. Wow. Thank you, Father. I don't know if that's true or not, but it could be. And if it is true, then it would say that David and I share a common problem, living in the finite while we worship a God of the infinite. Then David goes on to lift up accolade after accolade after accolade to God. And you know what I want to suggest to you? I want to suggest that you take this psalm, Psalm 21, into a quiet place this week where you have no distractions, and read each sentence that David shares in giving glory to God. And then stop after reading each of those sentences and reflect on your own life. Not David's, but yours. Let me give you some examples. Verse 3, it says, you welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. Now think about yourself. Surely you, each of you, can think of times in your life when God answered your prayers, even if you didn't deserve it, where God welcomed you, even when you didn't deserve it, where God blessed you with blessings that humbled you, and he put you in a position of honor, even though you didn't deserve that either. Well, relive that. Relive it in your mind and in your heart, and rejoice in it, even if it happened decades ago. Or maybe just last month, like it did for Ed. Rejoice. Here's another example, verse 4. David said, he asked you for life, and you gave it to him. Length of days, forever and ever. Now think about your own life. How old are you? Did you expect to live this long? Or are you surprised? When you die, do you know where you're going to go? and spend the length of days that last forever and ever? Of course you do. Or at least you should. There should be no doubt. Thank God for the years of life that He's given to you now and that He's promised to you forever and ever in eternity. He's good. He is good to you in both the smooth times and in the rough times. God is good to you. Thank Him. Verse 7, David offers this testimony in saying, "The king trusts in the Lord." Now that is the not-so-secret of how to pray a prayer that pleases God when you ask Him to give you the desire of your heart. Trust in the Lord. But then David moves from the past to the future. In verses 8 through 12, David says, "God's hand will lay hold on all your enemies and seize your foes and swallow them up." And in verse 9, David talks about the time of the Lord's appearing. That's partly why some people consider this psalm to be a messianic psalm, because it's referring to the coming Messiah. But think about your own life. You have a future. Do you know what that future is? Of course not. But God does. He does. You have a hope. You have a desire. But your hopes and desires are not under your control. They're in His holy hands. Do you believe that? Do you live your life that way? Do you base your faith on that? Do you need to renew your faith in that truth? Then do it. Do it. And that should result in what we've already mentioned. You should be filled with praise to God. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens." Look at the last verse of Psalm 21. But look at it this way. "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. I will sing and praise your might." And you know what? That is God's desire of His heart for you, that you would bring to Him all the praises and glory and honor and esteem that He alone deserves. Oh, do you remember that we started this and we asked, what is your prime concern? And we talked about that in the context of asking the question, what is your heart's desire? Well, we're ending this by defining what your heart's desire should be. And it should be what Samuel said about David in 1 Samuel 13, and what Paul said about David in Acts 13. They both said, David was a man after God's own heart. And David was the man who said this, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. I will sing and praise your might." Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Almighty God, how we rejoice knowing that you hold our lives in your very hands, that you hold our future in your very hands, and that you, Lord, are in the business of moving mountains. Forgive us when we doubt. Forgive us when we wander from our faith. Renew in us the joy of our salvation and strengthen our faith in you, that we will pray prayers of certainty and confidence that you are there, that you hear, that you care, and that you will. Hear our praises, God, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.